This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
Welcome. Whoa. I really meant to get through, huh? Asking everyone to come in quickly. The Presbyterians. We want to welcome you to WIM again this evening. How many of you have been refreshed so far? Amen. So we welcome you, and where I'm from, we do a welcome a little bit different. You see, I'm a pastor too, and I like to be refreshed. And in our church, we say, Holy Father God, we welcome you within this place. Holy Father God, we welcome you within this place. One more time. Holy Father God, we welcome you within this place. So we welcome you, and we welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we want you to stand with us as we go into what we call our gathering of song. As I say, put your dancing shoes on because we're going to take it a little south. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing.
Come and go with me to my Father. How many ready to go? Amen. This is our call to worship in your bulletins. And as we know, you read the bold and I read the light. In holy splendor, we worship the Lord.
In God is glory and strength. The Lord is mighty. God is with us.
In torrents and storms, God's peace pervades.
In rumbling thunder, God's mighty voice soothes. The Lord is majestic. God is with us.
The whisper of the Lord snaps silence.
The unwavering sound persists. The Lord is awesome. God is with us.
As flames being fanned, the presence grows.
In its shadows, wilderness flees. The Lord is powerful. God is with us.
Enthroned, God rules the universe.
The peaceful scepter prevails. God reigns. God is with us.
In whirling winds, nature acknowledges glory.
The people in the temple rejoice.
It is certain God is with us. Amen. God of all mercies, bound together in Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit, let us pray with one heart and mind to our God, saying, God of all mercies, that the love that passes ceaselessly between the Father and the Son and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may renew and deepen the life of each Christian and draw us all gathered here into your unending life, we pray, God of all mercies. For the leaders of the church and for the leaders of nations, that they may discern ways to overcome divisions and mistrust and may reflect your unity in every aspect of common life. We pray, God of all mercies, for our families, our households, and our communities, that they may be places of communion and mutual support, which build us up and strengthen us in grace and truth. We pray, God of all mercies.
Hear our prayers.
Thank thankful for our world that you made through Christ and renewed in the power of the resurrection, that we may be wise and careful stewards of creation. We pray, God of all mercies, in the power of the Spirit who joins our prayers to Christ's enduring intercession, we pray for the sick, the suffering, and all who stand in need. For the healing for all in the world, we pray. God of all mercies, gracious God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father, accept our prayers this day by the inner workings of your Spirit. Deepen our communion with you, the source and goal of our life, and make us more and more signs of your enduring love. This we pray through Christ, who lives and works with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all of God's children said, Amen.
Please be seated as we continue in worship.
This is our God, a fountain for the thirsty, a lover for the lonely. He brings glory to the humble and crowns for the faithful. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Let us pray. You are amazing, God. We are awestruck that you call us your children, that you have brought us into your kingdom. We thank you that you are our God, that you have wooed us to yourself, that you are our refuge, our shelter, that you are the one who wipes away our tears, that you are a father to the orphan, a healer to the broken, that you bring peace to our madness and comfort in our sadness. We thank you that you are our God, and that we have gathered together again as your community. Thank you for that gift of being together in this place, to gather around your word, to meet you. And that's what we ask for tonight, that we would encounter you through the speaking and hearing of your word, that our lives would be changed in some way. God, if you do not show up, all of this is in vain. So come, Lord Jesus, and walk among the congregation, that we may become more like Jesus. This is our prayer. This is our hope. This is our yearning tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. In this second installment of this series, not promises, 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 but promises, promises, promises. In the second installment, we come to Luke chapter 3. And I know in your program you have more verses than what I'm going to read. But this larger passage, that your pericope you see here, 1 to 18, sets a larger context. But I will read Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. hear God's word for us tonight. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Words in the wilderness. Words in the wilderness. Let me say, first of all, that tonight I don't have my amen corner from last night. All of that noise. So, that means I'm depending on you.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you have said, I'm praying for you. And others have said, are you going to ask for the gravy tonight? So, give me some gravy. Someone else was telling me a story, Larry actually, was telling me a story that about his Presbyterian rock, even during a worship service. So if I see some of you moving tonight, I know that's an affirmation. So we'll need everything tonight. And if you do not become my amen corner, then I will have to call on Andy to tag team preach with me. So words in the wilderness. You know, during the aftermath of the Haiti earthquake, there was a Haitian man who was trapped under a slab of concrete from a collapsed building. He lay on his side as the weight of that slab of concrete rested on top of him. And all of this was caught on camera. And what was insensitive or crazy or better yet inhumane was that a CNN news reporter was right there to get the high ratings. And this reporter begins to conduct an interview with this man as he lays under a slab of concrete. And this is what she asked him. What are you telling yourself? What do you think he's telling himself as a cement block rests on top of his body, squeezing the life out of him? What are you telling yourself? Let's see. I forgot to put out the garbage today. And, I didn't respond to that email. And, I'd really like a Starbucks caramel macchiato right now. What are you telling yourself? This man should have said, I'm actually telling myself or asking myself why a news reporter is asking me, what are you telling yourself? But this man under that slab of concrete, he could have uttered angry lament. Damn you, God! Or at least that cry of dereliction. My God, why have you forsaken me? But you know what? Instead, and in response to that reporter's question, what are you telling yourself? This is what he says. He says, Jesus, Jesus, my life is in your hands. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Under the weight of a broken slab of cement, we hear these words. J. Alfred Smith, the pastor emeritus of Allen Temple Baptist Church in Oakland, was right that hope is a tiny sprout growing up in cracked concrete. There in the dust and ashes, hope makes its home and speaks at an unlikely time, in an unlikely situation, through an unlikely person. A tiny sprout. In a land of devastation, a few words of hope. Jesus, Jesus, my life is in your hands. Hope resides in the ruins. Words in a wilderness. The word of God takes flesh through a man suffering under the weight of cracked concrete. The word of God comes through unlikely people in unlikely places. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. An unlikely person in an unlikely place. For sure, John was the son of a mute man, Zechariah. Luke doesn't describe John so much as tell us what he says, but in Mark, we hear that John is the kind of guy who makes fashion statements by wearing camel's hair. Can you imagine? Or he's the kind of guy who didn't get the job on the Food Network because he wanted to teach people how to barbecue locusts and use wild honey. John isn't the kind of leave it to beaver cleaver kind of man. He's not high on your list of babysitters or presidential candidates or pastoral candidates for your next lead pastor. He's a prophet. And no one wants to hire a prophet. A marginalized figure on the edge of society. No wealth. No prestige, no power, seemingly just one prophetic voice crying out. And it is to him the word of God comes. All God needs is one. Luke juxtaposes John with lots of other people, the many. It's obvious. Right from the beginning of that passage in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius. When Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. So Luke basically says, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, to those other guys. Yes, he did. That's the Lucan version. The emperor, the governor, the rulers, even the priests of that day who think they can control God. The civic and religious leaders, the authority structures, those with power and prestige and wealth, the deal makers of the day, the death wielders of the day, the power brokers of the day, the Wall Street dealers of our day, the media stars of our day, the overpaid athletes of our day. I am glad LeBron has gone to my hometown, but the glamour and glitz gurus of our day, they do not receive the word of God, but the word of God comes to a weirdo in the wilderness. John, someone on the margins of society. Someone we least expect to have anything worthwhile to say. Someone we've written off because they don't talk right or act right or look right. They don't have the right calling card from Whitworth. They don't have the right immigration paperwork. They don't have the right theological degree or the right denominational affiliation. But many times they may be right in front of us. A prophet crying out with a word from the Lord. A man struggling that I see him every now and then in Princeton. A man struggling with mental illness, walking Witherspoon Street, talking to himself.
or that teenage girl, pregnant, hanging out by the crack house on South Orange Avenue and 7th Street, right by a big Presbyterian church. Or that elderly woman who's being pushed in a wheelchair, who you look straight past to greet the person pushing her. The word of God didn't come to the many mighty and powerful rulers of the empire, but to one person hanging out in a strange location. And if an unlikely person isn't enough, look at where the destination of the word is, an unlikely place, the wilderness. Why don't we have church growth seminars there? Seriously, I mean, if you look at the larger context, the crowds are there in the wilderness. But today I don't see people running to the wilderness to learn anything, to hear a word from the Lord, to discover a new way of doing ministry. We'd like to find the biggest church with the biggest crowd, and I know no one here, that's not true, the coolest and most charismatic pastor, the flashiest technology, the hottest music from the praise band, the slickest lighting system in the sanctuary, the best coffee in the lobby, and the smartest marketing strategy that the church has. That's where we seek the word to sustain our ministries. But Luke reminds us that the word of God may not even be where we expect it, in our churches or in our Christian educational institutions. The word of God may be in our modern day wildernesses, in the mouth of one person who's not even popular. But do we have ears to hear? Or do we just ignore those in the wilderness like Claxton from the Church of the Holy Comforter in Atlanta? I didn't know that was his name, Claxton, at first, because when you first meet Claxton, this is what he would say. You go up to him to greet him. He would say, "Get out of here! Get out of here!" That's a strange greeting, right? But that's what he would say his name was, because that's what he had been told his whole life. Get out of here. Get out of here. There was Claxton, managing mental health issues, and because of that being deemed non-human, difference demonized, a wilderness. But could it have been that Claxton's "get out of here" was actually a word of God in a strange way that was crying out to us to love the unlovable? That "get out of here" was actually "come here"? A wilderness. No food, no water, no friends, no institutes of ministry. No iPhone, no texting, no tweeting like someone might be doing right now, right? A wilderness, a place of anxiety, fear, wandering like the children of Israel, or being tempted like Jesus. Not the halls of academia, or the leather seat of power of a CEO's office, or in the church boardroom of a mega church. A wilderness. No one is rushing there to find any insights, but the word of God came to John in the wilderness. In the least unlikely places. At the least unlikely times, through the least unlikely people, a word can come. As a preacher, when preparing a sermon, many of you know that you can never tell when a word from the Lord will come, or if it will come at all. There are no guarantees. For some, they say, "I'm going to wait until the Spirit moves," and that's fine. But if the Spirit only moves late Saturday night, there's a problem. But whenever the word of God comes, you better be ready for it. There are some words that take up residence in my own life. Now, words in the wilderness can be laments. They can be curses. Get out of here. But they can also be prayers of blessing. Some of you today in the workshop, I shared about my niece, Christiana, who at the age of 10 in 2005 died of a rare disease that only 3 out of 1 million children get. Juvenile dermatomyositis, a long name that shortened her life. There she was, an athlete. One organ at a time stopped functioning. It got so bad when she was visiting us in Canada, and they had to rush her back to California, where she couldn't even take her t-shirt off. She couldn't take a towel off of a rack. She couldn't open a jar. Her spirit was willing, but her body was weak. And then to see her in the hospital, her IV needles were her nails. Her hospital bed was her cross. There on her cross, in the wilderness, a word of God came unexpectedly as she kept her journal. 10-year-old girl. She prayed for her healing many times, but many times, every day, she would be praying for other people. She prayed for Aunt Gail, my wife, who was pregnant at the time. She prayed for Uncle J.M., who was in the hospital. She prayed, and I quote her, for the little baby next door in the hospital with the unknown liquid inside her body. But there came a point when she got too weak to continue writing. And so, if you saw the journal, it was on the last day that she could muster up enough strength to write anything. And at that point, she was praying for other people. And the last two words in that journal are actually the beginning of a sentence, the beginning of a prayer. And those words are also touch. That's how it ends. Also touch. It's an open-ended prayer. There's no amen. There's no creed or criteria or color connected to it. Just a prayer for you and me and for all of the needy people. Also touch. Words in a wilderness. Who would have thought that those two words would come from a 10-year-old girl who you could barely recognize because of her features became so distorted because of steroids and other medications. Also touch. That's missional theology in two words. Words still have power. Words do things, as speech act theorists have taught us. So we may say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, you know that's a bunch of cow manure, right? I know that. We know that words can do serious damage because some of you are still wounded from the words in your past or present. Words have power. Words can heal and help too. Think about it. Three words helped Barack Obama win a presidential election. Yes, we can. Four words from the mouth of Dr. Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Challenge this nation, and it continues to echo in our historical memory. Words still have power. And all God needs is one. One word. One person, one voice crying out in the wilderness, one who will stand and say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. And John is that one, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. A word of preparation, a word of transformation, a word of universal salvation, a word that says the world is about to turn, a word that overturns our expectations again. This is the word in the wilderness. And this is a good word because His word actually prepares the way for the word, Jesus Christ. And if you think the words of Obama and King have power, watch out for the word made flesh. Because when Jesus comes, everything changes. When Jesus comes, our lives are never the same. That's why you come every single year here. When Jesus comes, he says, I'm going to straighten things out, smooth things over, and save you. When Jesus comes. What's up comes down, and what's down goes up. When Jesus comes, the last will be first, and the first will be last. When Jesus comes, He says, you have to live. You live to die, and you die to live. When Jesus comes, everything changes. When Jesus, the Word of God, comes to you. That's right. Our world, our lives are wildernesses in so many ways. But the good news is that the Word of God enters the wilderness of human experience and comes even in our cracked concrete world, even if we have created our own wilderness. That's another sermon. But God is in the wilderness. Because nothing can stop Jesus, the Word of God, from coming to us. Not even a suburban wilderness. Because the way of Christ is through the wilderness. And the Word of God comes on God's initiative. That's good Reformed theology right there. You don't know when. You don't know who. You don't know where, but it will come. The Word of God came to John in the wilderness. That is the promise. And that is the hope. And that is the tiny sprout growing up in the cracked concrete existence of our lives. But you know what? It may show up in an unlikely place. In an unlikely time. Through an unlikely person. It may be as unlikely as a man trapped under a slab of concrete. Or just someone just hanging out. Even nailed to a wooden tree. Let us pray. In the silence, let the Word of God come.
Spirit of the living God, we thank you for the visitation. And we ask that we have a wilderness experience. That we may find you in a dry and weary land, because we know that you are the water that gives us drink. Help us to reach out and touch someone, God. Help us to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance in the wilderness. Help us to step out in boldness. Help us to not be afraid to reach out in the dark places, because you are the light of the world. For you said, if I be lifted up, even in the wilderness, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So God, help us to be lifters in the wilderness. Let the message penetrate our hearts. For your word says that it will not return void. Let it saturate us. Let it resonate in our spirit that we will be like our brother John the Baptist and not be afraid to say, repent, repent, for the day is at hand. For you are soon to come, and we want to be ready even in the wilderness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for the visitation. And we ask that we have a wilderness experience, that we may find you in a dry and weary land, because we know that you are the water that gives us drink. Help us to reach out and touch someone, God. Help us to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance in the wilderness. Help us to step out in boldness. Help us to not be afraid to reach out in the dark places, because you are the light of the world. For you said, if I be lifted up, even in the wilderness, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So God, help us to be lifters in the wilderness. Let the message penetrate our hearts. For your word says that it will not return void. Let it saturate us. Let it resonate in our spirit, that we will be like our brother John the Baptist and not be afraid to say, repent, repent, for the day is at hand. For you are soon to come, and we want to be ready even in the wilderness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Please stand as we sing. Please stand as we sing. Please stand as we sing. Please stand as we sing.